Hey, smash the like button. No, we're kidding. Hey, we're here at the House of the Dragon premiere. It's Bubba and
Catfish
from
the Joffrey of Podcast.
Let's take a look around at what House of the Dragon has for its world red carpet premiere. Stop.
I am the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey of Podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me, as always, is
Catfish. Bubba?
Yeah.
One thing I need is more dragons. And I don't need a shed. Not even a tutu. I need a full house of dragons. And we got it.
Heck yeah, that's right. Welcome to the Joffrey Podcast. We are going to be covering, with a non-spoiler way, the House of the Dragon premiere. HBO, Discovery, Warner Media, they invited us to the premiere. We're going to talk about it, but we're going to say this right up front.
Say it.
This is no spoilers, but of course, it's no spoilers in the way we think about spoilers. It may not be no spoilers in the way you think about spoilers. So, for example, we'll be talking about our first impressions of House of the Dragon, the new HBO drama, which premieres on August 21st on HBO HBO Max.
Wait a minute, Bubba. How can we talk about this? It's not out yet.
I said a second ago, Discovery and Warner Media invited us to the premiere.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, the premiere of the first episode of House of the Dragon?
Yes.
Sorry,
that's correct.
I'm just humble bragging without the humble, Bubba.
Yeah, there's the non-humble bragging. Now, once again, we don't think these are spoilers, but we may say, oh, this character in the premiere episode or this actor in the premiere episode was really good. And of course, you may scream,
spoiler! I didn't know that character was in the first episode. Bubba and Catfish ruined it for me.
So if you're that type of person, it's okay. Stop this podcast. Listen to it after you watch the premiere. We don't want to spoil it for you.
And I did not mean to mock you, but really I did.
Hey, no. Now also, look, we also made things like, oh boy, there was this shocking moment during the beginning of the episode or the middle of the episode or the end of the episode. And if you're the type of person who might say,
oh, now I'll be expecting a shocking thing at the beginning. No, it won't be a shock for me. Bub and Catfish should be fed to a dragon.
If you're that type of person, stop the podcast.
Hey, now, I want you to understand something, though. Even though we've given you those two warnings, you need to know something about me if you don't know already and you'll be listening. You haven't been listening to this podcast, the Joffrey of Podcast, for years and years. Obviously, I already forgot half the show. So if I say something that sounds like a spoiler, I probably made it up or it's from a completely different show.
Right. We're the only podcast which has short-term and long-term memory loss as a featured, not a bug.
Bonus.
All right. So, hey. At the end of this podcast, so if you're still listening, let me also throw this one. At the end of this podcast, we're going to be talking about a thing in the most non-spoilery way possible, but it's a thing that kind of seems to have gotten out there, not through us, but through other people, about a shocking possible thing at the end of this episode. And so we're going to talk about it in a non-spoilery way.
Oh, boy.
You know, we just don't want anybody to be spoiled. We want you to enjoy this first episode that we, Game of Thrones, the Song of Ice and Fire fans, have been waiting for so long. We want you to enjoy it in the best way possible. So if we've described is cool for you, listen to the rest of this podcast. If not, hey, jump out now, and that's perfectly, perfectly fine.
And then join us when we start breaking down these episodes one by one on further Joffrey of Podcasts.
In addition to our typical podcast, one thing we're going to try, and hopefully you guys like it, is everybody knows there's watch-along podcasts, watch-along YouTube videos. So there's this new service. There's a new service called Stream Lounge, which takes a watch-along show, podcast, and combines it into a one-screen experience rather than a two-screen experience. It's called Stream Lounge, and you can have us and the show House of the Dragon on the same screen as we're watching it. So we're going to set that up. Know that we'll be sending that out in a bit. We'll be setting that up and telling you guys more about it in a bit, but it's a service called Stream Lounge. We're going to test it out and see if it works. And it'll be a way for you guys to watch House of the Dragon episodes with the two of us.
Oh my God, that's value added, Bubba.
Right. We hope so.
How much extra is that going to cost them?
More time, that's for sure. They're going
The correct answer, Bubba, is zero, I think.
That's right. It is zero.
God, what amazing, amazing technology.
All righty.
We are excited to be back. We cannot wait for Joffrey to travel back in time and join this show as the hashtag hero you deserve.
Boy, and you dropped the biggest spoiler right at the front, Catfish. I said we were going to do generic spoilers.
But there is no spoiler. You cannot spoil the fact that Joffrey is the greatest human being, real or fictional, in the entirety of the cosmos. And so therefore, he can travel back in space and time and should be in every single show, not just Game of Thrones shows.
Excellent. Okay. So now, because the premiere is probably under a review embargo, we're not going to give ratings and things that we normally do.
Wait, we can't even give our ratings?
No. If you looked at the show notes ahead of time.
Okay. Well, you could say things like, it was good.
Right. We're going to give our impression of it. And right now, we're going to play for you what we recorded moments after we saw the premiere episode there at the Academy of Motion Picture Museum in Hollywood. So let's play that for our initial impressions.
Hey, Catfish. No spoilers. No spoilers. No spoilers. Let's go through three bullet points real quick. Your favorite character from the premiere. No spoilers.
I mean, it's pre-Joffrey. It's Prince Daemon. He is the best. I can't wait to see what he gets up this year.
It's hard to agree with Catfish, but Matt Smith is perfect. Prince Daemon is the most interesting character for me as well. Who's the most untrustworthy character?
Oh, man. It's got to be Otto Hightower. He's the only guy, I think, who had his hair darkened for this role. That'll tell you.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go with my original answer. Prince Daemon, I think, is the most untrustworthy character in the premiere.
Come on.
That's my feeling. All right, that's my feeling. All right, so final thing is that so many of these actors are hidden behind white wigs, blonde wigs. Which ones did you maybe have trouble remembering, connecting with? Which white-wigged character is tricky?
Oh, man. For me, it was the king and his daughter. What about you, Bubba?
I think the king's great character. The daughter is Rhaenyra's great character. I think Rhaenyra's probably doesn't have as much to do. Great character, but she can blend into the menagerie of Targaryens.
Oh, menagerie.
So that's it. You'll get to watch on August 21st, House of the Dragon.
But in the meantime, catch up on the Joffrey podcast, and we'll see you after the premiere episode.
And now, Catfish, it's been about 4 days since we saw the premiere.
Yeah.
Let's go further. What are your impressions of the episode? Did you like it?
I did like the episode. We would talk about kind of more specific but still non-spoilery things later. But I am very much looking forward to this world. They've laid a good groundwork, I think, for a series that is accessible and in this world but still separate enough from the main series that I think people will keep tuning in once they tune in.
Catfish, real quick, why don't you tell our listeners, did you read Fire and Blood or any of the material that George has released, which tells the story of this Targaryen civil war? Have you read any of that stuff?
Bubba, most of the time I would have read this stuff and, as I said, forgotten it. But this time, nothing to forget. Have not read any other stuff. You know, it's funny because I'm the one that introduced you to this book series. And when someone introduced me to the book series, they were like, I've been waiting forever for the fourth book to come out. And I was like, all right, that's fine. And then by the time I read it, then eventually I got the fourth book. But, you know, I am on a book embargo until we start getting more books in the main series. My own personal embargo. No.
Man, I'm just glad you remembered that you hadn't read it. So that's pretty good. You're still doing pretty well, Catfish.
Nice. I still got it. What about you, Bubba? I assume you've read it.
I have read Fire and Blood. When people ask me, what's my impression of this premiere episode? I've been telling everybody it ends really strong. Now, admittedly, a lot of times you say it ends really strong because for me, and this is just me, I hope nobody else feels this way. It's not a correct opinion. It was just me. For me, for the first two-thirds of the episode, it was like I was intellectually engaged, like, oh, this is good acting. This is I understand where it's going. Someone has taken Fire and Blood and put it on screen. But for the first two-thirds of the episode, I wasn't actually emotionally engaged, and I kind of thought, uh-oh, maybe I won't connect with this. But there are certain events that I think even if you haven't read Fire and Blood in the premiere episode, you'll think, well, this thing's going to happen. And that does happen about two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah.
I think the last third was really strong, and I did get emotionally engaged, and I did end up saying, oh, wow, that's pretty good.
Well, see, since I didn't know the characters at all, I didn't expect to be, you know, they had to kind of lay the groundwork for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that same problem that you did, and brought along our friend Kentucky. Kentucky kind of felt the same way you did. So I'm outnumbered 2-1. They have to lay the groundwork. So I thought they laid it deliciously.
Now, we had this question from a person on Twitter. And do you want to read this question they submitted to us, Catfish?
Sure. This is Adelaide Elizabeth at Adelaide Fall. Adelaide says, I'd love to know what it was like to be in the audience in the sense that most audiences collectively and emotionally engage as one body or does not. Was the audience in sync? Could you feel their emotions?
Well, this goes to my point. And once again, I may not have been in sync with them, but for me, one interesting thing about this premiere is for that first two-thirds, it was a really quiet audience. There weren't like laughs, there weren't like gasps, there wasn't kind of like anything. It was quiet. But then once again, certain things start happening, and then the audience started making noise, either, you know, laughter or shock or, oh, you know, disgust or anything. And we'll get to it later. There was a certain point in the episode where the people in front of us literally started hooting and hollering. So
they did. I feel like we were kind of we were more towards the front in the sort of the fan part of the audience, but I felt the same as you, Bubba, that it's always hard to tell from a premiere whether they pack it with people who are friends and family and so they're more enthusiastic, or it's more professional. A lot of reviewers and stuff like that. And so they'll be a little bit more laid back. Mm-hmm. I thought it was definitely, it felt like an audience that did not have a lot of energy. And I would say even with the hoot and hollering, it felt like there was not a lot of energy at the end. There was applause, but it didn't feel, I mean, the guy in front of us stood up and then eventually he was like, I'm the only one, so I'm going to sit back down.
Right. Once again, that doesn't mean anything. I would be willing to bet that everybody in that audience actually thought the episode was good, like we did. But it was not. But the trick is that we have gone to many screenings of Game of Thrones. Now, admittedly, this is after the series had gotten started. People were engaged. And so this was the quietest screening we'd ever been to. You know, we went to a screening on the night that Battle of the Bastards premiered. We were in a screening at the Ace Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. And that crowd, admittedly, it was more fans than anybody.
Yeah.
But they were going nuts.
Definitely more fans. This felt like more like a professional audience. So, I would agree with you. Don't take that as anything. But I will say the audience was not as engaged as they have been in previous Game of Thrones audiences we've been in.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of things. I'm trying to think. We should tell everybody, if you're brand new to the Joffrey podcast, before the show premiered, HBO put an Iron Throne in the middle of the Hollywood and Highland Shopping Center. And they said, hey, come sit on the Iron Throne. Now, because the show hadn't premiered, really, it was people like Catfish and I who were showing up and getting our picture on it. And there wasn't a line, there wasn't a line. Nobody knew what it was, but we went and got our picture on the Iron Throne. We went to an event, I think right before season 3 or season 2 at the Hollywood at the Hollywood Chinese Theater, which had the cast and crew speak about ahead of time. We went to that talent agency and saw the season 5 first episode before anybody else had seen it.
Oh, that was great. It was only like 100 people. That was a real small audience.
Yeah. And so we've been to these things.
Oh, no, but come on. You have to talk about my favorite one.
What's your favorite one?
Well, that was, now I'm trying to remember what season it was before, but they actually also at the Ace Hotel had an entire day of the previous season. Mm-hmm. They were showing them one by one with little breaks in between. So spent all day. They had some food trucks. I mean, Bubba, now you already have a healthy enough ego, so I don't usually give you props. You're giving yourself enough props. But our friend Kentucky noted to me after the premiere how well you flexed on some bums behind us. So let me just briefly lay this out, and then you can add to it from your point of view.
Sure.
So there were some guys behind us, and either one of us was like, is this – they're playing music before. Is this the music from the original? And they were like the comic book guy from The Simpsons. No, no, this is new. And we're talking loudly about whatever podcast or whatever they do. Right. And then at a certain point, Bubba, sitting two seats away from me, wearing a full mask, you could only see his eyes. You turned to me and you said, hey, is that guy? That guy's, I think that guy is Dave. And you leaned over and you said, David. And you had recognized the guy who created the Valyrian language. You recognized him with a mask on, and you started talking to him and complimenting him. And I didn't even think about it at the time because, you know, you like to flex all the time. But afterwards, Kentucky was like, oh, man, Bubba crushed those guys behind us. Recognizing the guy who created Valyrian with his mask on, they piped down after that, Bubba. You shut him down.
So we were seated in, as you described, probably the fan area. But I should point out that two seats over from you was David J. Peterson, the person who created the Dothraki language, who created Valyrian language. I recognized him with his mask on, and so we leaned over and said, hey, David, what do you think? Have you, you know, is there Valyrian in this? And he said, I think he said this in interviews, but he told us, he goes, you know, the writing is so good in this show, House of the Dragon, that he wanted to improve his own writing to match it. We also joked with him. We were like, well, what we're going to do is, you know, do you know who speaks Valyrian well and these other languages well on House of the Dragon? He said he hadn't heard it yet. So I told
him. Well, he said he hadn't heard it from the main cast.
Right.
Which was interesting. He probably helped with some others. So I did find that interesting.
Right. And so I joked with him. I said, well, if anybody speaks Valyrian in this premiere episode, I'm going to look over at you and you can just either give me a thumbs up like that's really good or a thumbs down, that's really bad, or, you know, midway thumbs like they did OK. And I did peek at him, but he did not give me the thumb when there was, spoiler alert, there was a bit of Valyrian spoken in this first episode.
Nice.
All right, so we've already kind of talked about it on our instant reaction right outside the theater, but hopefully, once again, people won't feel like this is a spoiler. Favorite characters, what do you got, Catfish?
All right, for me, it is Prince Daemon, Matt Smith. I mean, you need to have, look, this is Game of Thrones. The original Game of Thrones had so many amazing characters that were a little braggadocious. You need that in this world. You need some cocky MFers. And Daemon does it for me. I love him. In fact, I think he can even pump it up a little bit more. But I felt like that was needed a little bit on the show. We need to have some guys we really, really dislike.
Also really pop. To me, once again, it wasn't that any of the actors were bad. They were all wonderful actors doing great performances. But when Prince Daemon was on the screen, it popped. It like came to life in ways that it didn't always. For me, once again, who cares about my opinion? It didn't always for everybody else. And I want to say that, you know, for complete honesty, Prince Daemon wasn't a character I really liked in Fire and Blood. You know, he was the kind of person who I was like, boy, I would not be friends with this person in real life. But on this premiere episode, he pops.
Yes, so good. So good. What about you, Bubba? Who is your favorite character?
You called it, Prince Daemon. There's almost no other choice based on this first episode to me. I am going to try to be, Catfish, a Kristen Cole stan. I'm going to try to be him, mainly because, you know, we'll see. He could be a badass, but I'm going to try to be a Kristen Cole stan. But based on this premiere, I have to go with Prince Damon.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Now, here's a question we're going to try to answer. And the question you Game of Thrones fans might be really wondering. Will newbies, somebody who never watched Game of Thrones at all, be able to watch this premiere episode, understand what's happening, and enjoy it? And so I'll go first this time. Number one, I think without question, a newbie, somebody who's never watched Game of Thrones before, will be able to understand what's going on. They set this up as best they can, in my opinion. Now, there may be some questions that anybody would have about, wait, tell me more about this fantasy world and this land and all those things. But as for the story and the plot, I'm quite sure somebody who's never watched Game of Thrones before will be able to understand it without any question. And once again, I'm just kind of applying my own logic to this. If they watch the entire episode, I do think they'll be engaged and want to watch the next one. So that's my thought, Catfish. What do you think? Will newbies be able to get into this new show, House of the Dragon?
I believe they absolutely will. And, you know, the thing about this one is so far, I mean, this is not a spoiler. The show is called House of the Dragon. In the first episode, this is all really about one house. The original Game of Thrones was about a bunch of different houses, so there was a lot of different things going on. Mm-hmm. So for better or for worse, at least in the first episode, we are concentrated on one house. So it's just the machinations between one house. Now, I will say this, however. I was talking to a new friend of mine this week, and I was talking about going to the premiere, and, you know, they were like, how was it? And I said, it was good. And I said, it's a new show coming out. They didn't even know it was coming out. And I said, did you watch the original Game of Thrones? And they said, no, because I have a hard time watching scenes with a lot of blood in it. And I said, this show will not be for you.
I guess the original Game of Thrones, that's a good point.
You know, I would just say, based on the first episode, no, if you cannot stand watching blood, no.
Okay, well then let's go the other way. Will all of the Game of Thrones fans love this first episode of House of the Dragon? What do you think there, Catfish?
Well, I mean, if you're a fan, you want to see more in this world. So far, as I said, it's for better or for worse. It doesn't seem, at least so far in the first episode, to be as complex. That could change. Maybe they've decided to do a little bit more handholding, or maybe it's just part of the story. I don't know, because I didn't read the book. So I think they will enjoy it, except for one concern I have that we'll get to later.
All right. Well, when I think about that question, mm-hmm. I think about a statement author George R.R. Martin told The Hollywood Reporter. He put this statement out there where he said, there's no Arya, a character everybody's going to love, in House of the Dragon. What is funny is after the premiere, we had someone say to us, there's no Tyrion. And I suddenly started thinking, there's also not really a Jon. There's not a Brienne. There's not a Davos. And so, you know, Arya and Tyrion, they are very lovable. They do, you know, tough things later, and you may, you know, gray things and dark things later. But there's also not that pure white character, which a lot of people, not us, but a lot of people do connect to a, you know, completely pure kind of white knight type character like a Brienne or a Jon.
Right. But again, when you're talking about... you know, a couple of the characters you mentioned, we don't even see until later. Brienne, Davos, like
right,
that.
Okay, but how about Jon, Arya, or Tyrion? There's nobody that is a great correlation for any of those. Tyrion is very fun, especially in that first episode. Is there a character you would say is especially fun in this premiere?
Well, I mean...
Different type of fun, but Damon, I assume, is where you're going.
Damon is exactly where I'm going to go. You know, again, there's like, you know, there's also Littlefinger, but these are, again, characters that...
Littlefinger wasn't in the premiere of Game of Thrones. I'm saying that...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm saying that will all Game of Thrones love this first episode of House of the Dragon? Will there's not going to be that hook character like you maybe found Jon Snow, like you maybe found Tyrion, like you maybe found Arya, like you maybe found Bran in the first episode of Game of Thrones. And I'll also say that...
Peeper.
So I'll also say that if you remember the premiere episode of Game of Thrones, to me there's a very important scene in that premiere that there isn't a correlation in this premiere. And what do I mean by that? There is a scene in that first episode of the Stark boys as Bran is trying to shoot his bow and arrow. And then you see Arya trying to sew. And then you suddenly see Arya shooting her bow and arrow perfect, and then Bran chasing after her. That is a moment that is not in the books, that is there to get you to connect with these characters. Kind of, oh, they're just like us. They're a family. For me, once again, I don't know if there's a moment like that. And so I'm mentioning all this stuff to say, I think there could, and probably naturally would be, a portion of Game of Thrones fans who this show isn't for.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, well, and then let's stay on this for a bit. Noticeable differences between Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon. For me, the biggest noticeable thing is the budget. Game of the Thrones, as we all know, wasn't budgeted the first season anywhere close to something like Boardwalk Empire, another HBO show. This show looks like hundreds of millions of dollars. This show has a giant budget. And in some ways, that also can be off, maybe was off-putting to me a bit about how big this budget looks on this show. To me, that was the thing that really stood out to me between the two. How about you, Catfish? Differences between Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon? Any that you note? Or similar?
Well, I would say this. It's funny, you know, again, this is sort of a, you know, I think I've been accused of a little bit of sexism, but I like a little nudity and sex in my adult dramas. And Game of Thrones felt like it had that earlier. The term sex position was coined from Game of Thrones. And then I felt like they kind of were like, no, let's not have any fun consensual sex in the last few seasons of Game of Thrones. Sex is only going to be a violent, angry act. And so we had some, it seems so far at least, that maybe we're going to go back to a little bit of fun sex and nudity. To me, my biggest laugh was occurred during that part of the show. So for me, I'm all for it. I mean, you know, I was a big fan of the show Spartacus on Starz, which just started off as a swords and sandal and then got more complex. But they never shied away from let's have some sex and boobs. Let's do it.
Alrighty, to me, on the sex and nudity scale, to me, there was no noticeable difference between what you would see in Game of Thrones and what you
early
would see
Game
here.
Of Thrones. Early
well,
Game of Thrones.
To me, you know, I think you're factually incorrect. I mean, Jon and Dany had a sex scene in the, you know, last episode of season 7, which is pretty near the end. I mean, you're like, they stopped having sex. No, that was consensual sex in Game of Thrones. That Catfish senior moment there, not remembering that scene. But to me, it seemed like it always was in the show.
All right. How about what's your feelings about, you know, there was a lot of brouhaha in the original Game of Thrones. You know, George R. R. Martin famously wrote this against, you know, it's the War of the Roses.
Right.
And, you know, this kind of thing happened back then. Relations between family members that happens in Game of Thrones. And there was a lot of, oh my God, whoa, this is horrible. So Bubba, intimations of improper yes. family relations. Any differences between Game of Thrones and House of the Dragons?
No. What's probably the biggest difference is that nobody's saying, oh, that's wrong.
I will say, and maybe it was just my misinterpretation, but okay. I thought maybe I got a hint of that of something like that in the first episode of House of the Dragons.
Yes, there are definitely hints of like, okay, that's going to be wrong. But once again, I don't think there's anybody there to say it's wrong. It was what's coming.
Okay, now here's where I think I have to disagree with you.
All right, let's hear it.
Still think it's still are bringing modern sensibilities, and it's still
no character on the show is what I'm saying. You know, in the original show, people would like, oh, brother and sister should not do unnatural things like that, right? They'd say that. Nobody says anything like that in this premiere episode.
No, nobody does. But again, maybe you misinterpreted me. I got a hint of possible impropriety, improper feelings between family members. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. No, you did. But what I'm saying is nobody on the show says, oh, those are improper family.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Right. How about the violence, Catfish? Any noticeable difference between Game of Thrones violence and House of the Dragon violence?
That's a tough one. Both no and yes. No, there's still lots of violence in this. But yes, it's different because, holy cow, maybe it's been a while since I see Game of Thrones, but there's some violence on here that I just had to look away from. I was like, no, you cannot be showing me this.
Oh, yeah. I definitely looked down during some scenes, too. Like, oh, boy, that's tough.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bubba, again, we said we got the special invite to this premiere.
Hey, guys. We did a lot of fun social media stand-ups at the House of the Dragon premiere. And so let's go ahead and show you those stand-ups, and you'll see why we're an audio podcast.
Here we are. I'm not sure what, Bubba, what's the name of the show?
Name of the show is HBO's Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon.
Oh, my God, this is amazing. Just on the other side here, the really important people are being shouted out by photographers. Matt, look over here. Person I don't recognize because you're not wearing your blonde wig. Look over here.
Now, people are shouting for us, but it's to get away from the red carpet. We are seeing this. Nobody has seen this yet, except some of our insiders who've seen multiple cuts of it. But we're about to see House of the Dragon before anybody else.
Whoa.
This dragon is life-size here outside the Academy Museum. As you can tell, it was modeled after Matt Smith after he had his neck injury. So we're going to be going in. We're going to be seeing the show. And we're going to be taking a big bite out of this world premiere. Catfish, what are you most excited about?
Oh, my God. Bubba, it's been so many years since we've been in this world, and now we get to go back in it, although back in time. You know what? It's exciting. This is a new story.
Right. They can go anywhere that George allows them to.
Holy cow, Bubba.
Oh, my God.
It is a huge, huge skull.
It's bigger than Catfish's car.
No, my car is much bigger. This is like a Humvee skull. And we are going to be riding this thing later on tonight.
Are you excited? This is the first Game of Thrones follow-up show. We've been waiting so long to get back to Westeros. Write in the comments what you're excited to see on House of the Dragon premiering August 21st.
Oh.
That's the theater. This is the walkway. These are the influencers. Hey, we're about to go see the House of the Dragon world premiere.
My God, we are minutes away from seeing it before you do.
Right, and we can see the dragon skull if you look right out that window into the bright glaring outside. You can see everybody is very excited.
Oh my God, a couple free drinks after with the after party. We're gonna be on top of that thing.
Well, let's talk about for people who like to hobnob, the what I like to call double T's in our listeners.
Double T's?
Yeah, the TMZ types.
Okay, TMZ types, double T's, sure.
Yeah, let's talk about the premiere both before and after the event.
So we arrive at the Academy Museum. We're going to be let in at 6. And so,
by the way, we should say this Academy Museum is a fairly new museum.
Mm-hmm.
Built by the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences, well known as the people who put on the Oscars, and they have the Lord's money, so they made a huge museum plus a huge nice theater. They have upstairs. They have a completely open air area that has kind of a dome over it, but it has the most amazing view. And so this is a swank place to have a premiere, Bubba.
Oh yeah, we had visited the museum before, and it's a fun museum to check out, especially certainly if you love movies, you would think that's why you're going. But this open air deck up top, it's the place to be. It's got a great view of Hollywood and West Hollywood and just everything. And it opens up a bit like a movie screen, the way they make this open air space, and so fun.
Yeah. This was a splash event, Bubba. I don't know how much HBO spent on renting out the museum. Mm-hmm. We had to take pricey PCR tests the morning of the event.
Oh, yeah.
So HBO went all out for this. They probably spent a lot of money on alcohol for you.
We'll get to the after party in a bit. Let's do some celebrity spotting. And I didn't take any photos of these celebrities. They're there to celebrate their work. I thought they didn't want to be bothered by this, you know, real handsome young man named Bubba taking their photo. So I didn't do that. But at the premiere, Matt Smith was there, and he looked sharp. He was dressed to the nines. Patty Constantine, I saw. Millie Alcott, who plays young Rhaenyra, she was there. She was dressed up real great. Emily Carey, who plays young Alicent Hightower. It was funny. She was dressed really fancy is the only way I can think it. And because she was dressed so fancy, I thought, oh, there's some influencers here. And I thought she was one of the influencers, but no, she's one of the stars of this episode. And Fabian Frankel, who plays Kristen Cole, was there. And
then Reese Evans was there.
He was tall, man. Did you see how tall that guy was? Like, I'm 6 feet, and I was waiting for a drink at the bar relatively close to him. And I thought, oh my God, that guy's tall.
What I loved about him, and this is also not a spoiler because you could see pictures of characters and there's been premieres, is that he appears to be the only person who's really in real life blonde.
And like a Targaryen.
In the show, everyone's blonde and his hair is darker.
Yep.
His hair is brown because he's not a Targaryen.
Yeah, great. So, there were also non-stars of the show there, meaning actors who aren't in the show. For some reason, I started talking to the actress Lisa Edelstein, who was from the show House. I was like, oh, really nice dress.
Well, their mistake was the drop-off for the people going on the red carpet dropped them off, and then they had to walk through our area, the non-red carpet people, to get to the red carpet. And so as we were standing by the big dragon head that was right near the, you know, where they were able to go into the red carpet. And so, Bubba, this was the point pre-show where you just started chatting up ladies.
Okay. We don't have to go too deep into that. But yes.
Okay. Great.
All right. So there were also naturally a lot of other podcasters there. And you're like, there's Jason Concepcion, who's going to be doing the House of the Dragon official podcast. There's Mallory Rubin and Joanna Robinson from The Ringer. There's Aaron from Bald Move. There's David Lightbringer from his YouTube channel. And, you know, I'm not one to judge how somebody's dressed, but I was judging how he was dressed.
You didn't mention that this was cocktail wear, and we got there, and our friend Kentucky was like, oh no, I have to go and give you one of my jackets from the car. You are not dressed fancy enough for this, Bubba.
Well, we should say the invitation originally said you want to dress in evening chic. And then suddenly
you would not have been in evening chic either, Bubba.
Well, but then it suddenly said cocktail attire. And so I'm sorry, I had to catch a plane. I didn't bring a million different outfits on this plane to know one was evening chic and which one was cocktail attire.
Well, either one of them would have required a jacket, which you did not bring. But also, I want to ask
I wore a jacket.
If they know the difference between evening chic and cocktail wear. And again, the jacket was brought, luckily, our friend who was with us, Kentucky, was able to give you one of the jackets he had in his car.
Yes, so hey.
Otherwise, you would have been the worst dressed person there.
That's not true at all. That is not true at all. Let me say that, please write to us and explain the difference between evening chic and cocktail attire. Wear. Write down in the comments on YouTube. Send us a tweet or on Instagram at @PHQ. We also met, and I want to shout out these guys. These guys introduced themselves as the biggest Spanish language A Song of Ice and Fire Game of Thrones YouTube channel. And their channel is called Jag Duran. Is that how you would say it, Jag Duran?
Well, I would guess it would be Jag, but I could be Jag wrong. Duran. Maybe I'm pronouncing that the way you would if you're Swedish. But anyway, J-A-G Duran.
Right.
Instead of Duran Duran, it's either it's probably Jag Duran or Jag Duran. What do you do?
At the after party, people would come up to me and say, "Oh, what do you do?" The LA question of the of every moment. You know, one person who wasn't at the premiere of Catfish.
Catman.
It's right there in the show notes. You could have read it, but no. Apparently, I have to introduce every topic. Yes, George R. R. Martin not at the premiere. He had come down with COVID when he went to San Diego Comic-Con, and it was funny. He was talking about how he didn't want to go to Comic-Con in some ways because he was afraid of COVID. Well, guess what? He caught COVID, and so he wasn't there.
Holy cow! And then we did get an announcement before the show.
Yep.
By Miguel Sapochnik, who directed this first episode. And Bubba, this is just inside. Probably people know this. When you direct the pilot of a show, you are setting the tone and look of the show. So he was there. The showrunner was there. It was introduced by Ryan Hansen. No.
Casey right? Bowles.
Yeah, sure.
from HB. Casey Bowles. From HBO.
Head of content?
Head of content. The one thing I thought was great is he came out and he said that they are going to, he was thanking everybody. He was like thanking the accountants, thanking these people. And then he mentioned that he wanted to thank the creative teams and the promotional teams. And there are going to be 15 more cuts, probably commercials. You're going to see online and on television. 15 commercials coming over the next month. So
yeah, no, that's
if you
what
thought
he said.
You haven't seen enough, there's 15 more things coming. That's incredible.
He said if you haven't seen a trailer for this yet, you will not be able to avoid it, which was awesome. He also said something I was noting, you know, we haven't seen it yet. It was so funny. He talked about, you know, the other shows that they've had. Mm-hmm. You know, in development. And he said, we've been looking for the next show that will captivate the Game of Thrones audiences. And we think this is it. I noted the think because I would have said, and this is it.
Always hedge your bets. It's always
yeah,
safe.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I did when I bought my Mega Millions lottery ticket. I was like, I want these numbers, I think. And so therefore, I'm able to go collect my millions. Because
love it.
Those weren't the numbers I thought. Hey, let's get to this after party. And so this is a big social event. It's up on this beautiful roof. There's fancy cocktail snacks. There's fancy drinks. There's specialty drinks. There's all sorts of people there, all from different areas in the entertainment industry. And
yep.
Of those people, Catfish, how many did you talk to? You who work in the entertainment industry.
I talked to you, Bubba, and our friend Kentucky.
This is a big party. There are famous actors, famous directors, probably casting people, probably producers. And so Catfish is like, yeah, I don't like this. Come on, man. Throw me a bone.
Okay, first of all, this was a Wednesday night. Now, you had flown in, so for you, this was like, woo, whirlwind.
Yeah.
I've blown some money on this. I'm gonna have a good time.
Yeah.
For me, it was just another Wednesday night.
Oh my God.
Bubba, the you know, again, like people who talk loudly about what they're doing to their friends so other people can hear, I really, really dislike schmoozing. You know, I'm a talkative guy. I like to interact with people, but it's mostly with people that I know already. That is unlike you, Bubba. You are very outgoing and will talk to anybody, especially people you don't know. So my question is, my answer was two. That's how many people I talked to. How many women did Bubba hit on at the party, which was essentially a business event?
We don't have to answer that. Yeah, maybe we should have listeners answer down in the YouTube comments. I talked to a lot of people, but you're right. A lot of it was small talk. I ran into Miguel Sapochnik, and I just, you know, I said, hey, great job. You know, that kind of stuff.
That kind of stuff I like. You know,
you didn't say it, though. You could have said it to him. You could have said it to any of these people. They were all right there.
I could have, but I did. You know, Bubba, again, you were in town for a night. Me, I was like, I've seen this.
Oh my God! HBO don't invite him. He only invite me to these parties.
Listen, I did my influencing.
It's a free open bar, and I know you didn't want to drink, but everybody's getting liquored up. Let's go.
It's a Wednesday night. I was just back from a 2-week vacation. I had work to do early in the morning. HBO could thank me. I came, I influenced, I said a bunch of stuff, and I didn't drink any of their alcohol.
You were like, I'm not influenced at all. I talked to actor Ryan Hansen. I don't know why he was there. I ended up on this in this group, mainly because I sat down next to him. I ended up in this group of members of the Hollywood Foreign Press, some official members of the Hollywood Foreign Press, some people who had just started writing for foreign publications.
Yeah.
So I sat down next to this one woman who had interviewed the cast, and she's doing it for Norwegian press. She's writing in Norwegian and talking in Norway. And so I sat down next to her, and one of the things I was like, isn't it great that we're the first ones to see it? And she goes, oh, I've seen it twice. I went, what? How have you already seen it twice? She goes, well, they let me see it because I had to interview the cast earlier. And so she had already seen it twice. But yeah, I was out there. I was promoting myself.
Before you go on, Bubba, here's a story that you don't know about that same exact person. So
Let's
you
hear.
Went over to get pictures of us with the dragon eggs. They had a little, Instagrammable thing. Mm-hmm. And our friend Kentucky and I went over to the section. We wanted to go somewhere where we wouldn't get COVID. We had water and grapefruit juice. And you were in line for the picture, so you came and grabbed me for the picture. And as we were gone, this woman who was sitting there says to Kentucky, she says, you know, all our friends are sitting here. You cannot sit here. And he's like, yeah, I know. We're just putting our drinks on this table. Okay, but you cannot sit here. These places are taken. And then, Bubba, you came back and sat down right next to her.
I did. And guess what she said? Nothing. That's our Norway press. There you go. We're the most popular podcast in Norway we're going
to
be.
There you go. And that just goes to show you, how interactive you were with people, Bubba.
Let me also say that it wasn't just that I was out there, saying hi to people, talking to people I didn't know, small talk like you do at these type of parties. Mm-hmm. But HBO naturally has some photographers, a camera crew going around to document the event so they can make a little promo about, hey, we had this great premiere at the Academy of Motion Picture Museum. And so I had an attempt to try to get in the promo video. So anytime the camera guy was close, I'd kind of force him to film me as I said things like, here we go again. It's great. So I'm trying to get myself in the HBO premiere video. There you go. How you like that?
I love it. I would not be surprised to see you there, but talking to different ladies.
Hey, no, actually, I would be surprised if I'm in this promo. I somehow had this big scratch on my nose. Maybe I was wearing a mask. One of those masks was a metal thing. So I had this big scratch, a little red spot on my nose. And in some of these videos that we're showing, I think I look pretty funny. Like I got the big red spot on my nose. So what can you
do? All right, Bubba. Well, we have been teasing this. Well, you could not hit on people. All right. So this is what we've been teasing.
Yes.
I can't wait to see how we do this. This is going to be the non-spoilery discussion of the big shocking reveal at the end of the episode. So, Bubba.
Yeah.
Be very careful as you introduce and discuss this topic.
I'm gonna try to. Now, I want to say about this thing that happened, this kind of thing that happened near the end of the episode. If you're not a big Game of Thrones fan, if you're not a Song of Ice and Fire fan, you may not even realize that this is a thing. You know, it's just like, somebody says something and you don't really, even put two and two together. If you're a casual Game of Thrones fan, you might hear this and go, oh, okay. If you're a big fan, you might suddenly think, this changes our understanding of everything, the story of Game of Thrones, of everything. And I think about our friends on the History of Westeros podcast, our friend like Double M, who has his Before the Dragon podcast, Radio Westeros. These people who are big into A Song of Ice and Fire lore and everything, they are going to be digging through their books. to find out how this works with the established canon. And when this happened in the episode, I mentioned that there were these guys in front of us from the YouTube channel Yag Duran, who went nuts when this, like, they went nuts. Like, it was the loudest moment in the entire premiere was their reaction to this. They loved the reveal. Catfish, without even talking about what it is, what'd you think?
All right, well, I am just going to start talking here, and then you can just take out whatever I reveal that is a spoiler. I don't know how you want to do this. Okay, this is very in general. This show is set 200 years before the Song of Ice and Fire.
The Game of Thrones novels, right.
Right. So for me, especially since we have kind of come to the conclusion of that, at least film-wise, I'm not sure any connection to that is really helpful in that we've concluded that series.
Mm-hmm.
And that any sort of relation to that is not really helpful in that it should be its own thing. So I don't know if that's, if you consider that spoilery. I kind of don't know how to say that. And I'm not any of the fans you listed, because my reaction was completely different. And my reaction was, I wasn't like, whoa. I was like, why relate this to the other show?
Catfish, I had the kind of the exact same reaction, especially during the episode. During the episode, when it was happening and these guys in front of us were hooting and hollering, they loved it so much. My thought was, why are we bringing this up? Why now? Why does it really tie to the story we're about to tell? Now, afterwards, I've thought about it some. And number one, let me say that this is definitely from George R. R. Martin. This is not from these showrunners. This is straight from his mind. And I called it, in my own mind, George R. R. Martin's midichlorians. And so if you're a big Star Wars fan like I was, back in the 90s, you would read interviews with George Lucas where he was always kind of hinting that he was going to come up with this thing about the Force in Star Wars lore, that there was a biological thing to it. And so when The Phantom Menace came out in 98 and suddenly there's this midichlorian issue, it was like, oh, okay. So I wasn't shocked that it happened because I'd read all those interviews in the 90s. But like a lot of Star Wars fans, I was like, really, do we need this? And that was my thought while it happened during the episode. I was like, huh, okay, all right. Let me say, I can see how it works. I think a lot of our friends about the lore are going to love it. For me, I guess I've come around to understand that, okay, this is the story. You know, it's like I can have different feelings about it, but this is the story. This is the way George has made the story. I would honestly think this is something he came up. I would, you know, to be completely honest, this is something I think George would have created in the last 15 to 10 years, not when he originally wrote the story. And even if he has an interview where he says, this is something I've been thinking out from the very beginning, I would doubt it, to be completely honest. But it is what it is. And so once the episode drops and we have our podcast about this, you know, come back and tell us what you think. Maybe that's already too spoilery, all the things we've said. I think we've stayed really vague in general, but it'll just be interesting. We want to know what you think. Once again, who cares what we think? We want to know what you think. Reach out to us at DoublePHQ on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/DoublePHQ.
Yeah, and I guess the only thing that I would say to wrap up is, here we go again.
Oh, you're trying to get on that HBO promo like I am. So, hey, let's just talk about it. Like on the Joffrey podcast, we are going to be doing our after show podcast. Like on the Joffrey podcast, it will be very tongue-in-cheek-esque and fun and scooring and silly, as we like to be silly. Hopefully you'll like this. Please subscribe and join us on this journey into this new show that I really do. Even though I mentioned my kind of thoughts through the premiere, at the end I thought, oh, wow, this is good. And I think you guys, if you listen to a Game of Thrones House of the Dragon podcast, you're going to love it. So join us on that. Subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. We're on so many podcast platforms. I forget them, to be completely honest, all of them. But please find us and subscribe. And all these podcasts are on YouTube
And it hit us up at our at the mothership's main Twitter, which is at double PHQ. That's the word double, the letters PHNQ. Bubba, how can they reach you?
You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
Oh, but what about Instagram, Bubba?
Also at Fit and Trim on Instagram.
How boring. If you want to reach me on Twitter, go for at CJGman67, your 67th favorite G-Man. But on Instagram, mix it up. That's called proper branding to have different letters. It is G to the man, GEETOTHEMAN. And you'll hear us next time on
the Joffrey
of podcast
dragons.
That's how we do it together at the end. I remembered.
Okay. You remember
we
that.
We say it together. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You may say it by yourself at the beginning, but we say it together at the end.
Oh, that's nice.